Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to The Dishes Podcast with me, Julie Smith. Now, what's one of the trickiest ingredients to prepare? Top of many cooks' lists would be the globe artichoke. In fact, many people avoid the task altogether. At the height of the artichoke season in the summer, I asked chef Stephen Edwards to talk through how it's done and to explain how winning MasterChef and Professionals a few years ago changed his life and prompted him to open his own restaurant, the acclaimed Etch, in Brighton and Hove, now winning its own accolades. Stephen explains why he loves fine dining cooking and why he's determined to improve the working life of his chefs. He started by taking me back to the breakfast of our childhood.
The dish we're doing today is our take on a dippy egg and soldiers. I love that nostalgic feel in the restaurant, and the dish is a lot more than that. So we've got slow-cooked hen's egg yolk, which we cook at 64 degrees for an hour, serve some little toasted brioche fingers, and then the star of the show is artichokes, which are banging season at the moment. We get them from the UK, and we just do those in various different ways and finish with basil. So egg and soldiers has always been a staple as I grew up. It's a quick, easy, humble dish, and I think it's British. Looking back on it, I love British food. I think it's a British dish that never really gets mentioned. Or we always talk about fish and chips, pie and mash. Egg and soldiers is up there when it's done right. And
it is, and
we've actually got the egg dish on all year round as well. So a simple dish, but a little bit technical as well.
Yeah, and it looks great. I mean, yeah. a lot about your food is to do with what it looks like, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
It's a joy. I mean, the journey of food is what you come here for.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think, I mean, I want the food to be artistic. You know, I think that's the first thing the guest sees. And it was when I worked with Raymond Blanc that, you know, it's your job as a chef to take those ingredients and elevate them and make them, you know, worthwhile for the guests. I mean, we can all do humble, simple cooked food, but people aren't going to pay money for that. And they want to have that experience from the taste, from the decor, from the service, all the way to what the food looks like and tastes like.
And there's a lot of synergy, isn't there, between art and food? I mean, in a lot of restaurants, you see great art on the wall.
That's right, and we're no different. And you know, we wanted to open up with different artists. We've got our private dining room downstairs, which we worked with Magnus Gowen, and you know, I did research into it, and even like in the days of Pablo Picasso, he was swapping art in restaurants for Michelin-starred foods. And I think there's always going to be that synergy between our guests and spending money in our restaurant and also spending money on art that they appreciate.
Yeah.
There's a good...
Absolutely. Good, right, let's get on with it.
So the artichokes... Yeah, these, like I said, the beautiful artichokes. A lot of people are like daunted by them. But all we're going to do is just remove the outer leaves, first of all. And these just like snap back. You can hear them snapping. Mm-hmm. And it's a bit lengthy, I suppose. But we're just working our way round the artichoke.
But great food is not about cutting corners. It's about taking time. It's about going the extra mile, isn't it?
100%. Like everything we get in, we want to take it from the beginning of its journey all the way up to the guest eating it at the end. But I don't know, like even on MasterChef, I loved using artichokes. I think they're just such a unique flavour. It's something straight away that people aren't going to do at home. So that's always a benefit as well for someone that wants to eat out in restaurants.
Yeah.
It's that they want a different experience than they can create themselves.
And it gives us a bit of time to find out about your journey from MasterChef.
Yeah,
right?
Thank you, yeah.
So, 2013, you've been on a bit of a journey since winning MasterChef. We'll talk about how terrifying MasterChef was in a second.
Yeah.
But actually, what a meteoric rise you've had since.
Yeah, I mean, I just wanted to do that platform justice. I think winning a show like that, it really made me change perspective on my career. I was happy. I was head chef of a 5-star hotel, and after
that was South Lodge.
That was South Lodge, and you know, that was my dream job. In all fairness, and I feel guilty for saying, but it made me push myself a lot harder. Made me think, actually, what do I want for my career? And I think any young chef will say they would love to have their own restaurant, doing their own food in their own environment. And that's exactly what I've got here. So I do feel very lucky that I've got the starting point now of what I'm trying to push on here at Edge.
Yeah, and we should talk about your age. I mean, you were the youngest ever MasterChef winner at 26, weren't
yes,
you?
Yes, that's correct.
I mean, it takes a hell of a lot to be a MasterChef winner. It takes experience. It also takes flair. How do you have that at 26? Or how did you have that at 26?
I don't know. I mean, there's been a younger winner with Craig Johnson since, and I'm astonished that he's done it. I think he was like 21. I mean, for me, it was just taking it round by round. I wasn't thinking about all of the things that made you a chef. I was literally treating it like a competition. You know, that could be football. You have to take it in each round, listen to the judges' feedback, and, you know, I'm very competitive. I just wanted to win, and it gave me confidence after the show.
But it's about, you know, winning isn't just about being the best. It's about having X factor. Yeah. Where do you think you got that from?
I got into cooking from eating, and I love to eat. And again, it was just meeting chefs. You know, I spoke about Raymond Blanc earlier. When I met up with John Campbell, he said his best advice he gave me was to cook food that you love to eat. And I know that sounds obvious, but when you become a chef, you don't always think like that. You're almost like in the process of just creating dishes. And I definitely use that advice on MasterChef. I did dishes that I love to eat at that time of year and that I would enjoy in a restaurant. And I think it's then, once you've got those flavour combinations, you can elevate them into more technical dishes.
Yeah, and also...
And that's exactly the same as how we've done this dish. You know, you've got egg and soldiers, you know, which I feed to my kids at home. We've taken something that everyone's had at some point in their life, but just tried to elevate it, make it into a restaurant dish and make it different and tasty.
Yeah, and you eat with your eyes, clearly. Yes. So let's see how you transform this dish into something that is utterly beautiful as well as incredibly tasty.
So I've taken the artichoke back just until the bulb of the choke. It's about halfway down, where you see the leaves starting to go flat into the bud. And then all we're going to do from there is like cut it, using the stem as your handle. I see a lot of chefs take that off first, but I like to keep that as a handle. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to cut straight down.
And that's a beautiful beetroot colour inside.
Yes. And then as we're cutting, we get in part of the choke. Now this is inedible, and we're just going to use a spoon to cut that out. It's a bit difficult at first, but once you get in there, and it's literally, it's strange. It's almost like,
like dandelion flower, isn't it?
You know straight away that needs to be removed.
So you're working with the ingredients that you've got, and you're getting the best out of it. So you're creating a lovely little nest in kind of the base of the artichoke.
We use these artichokes whole to make a puree. That's already been done for us. But this element, we're going to like thinly slice and make artichoke crisps, which are really easy to do at home. And also slice a little bit thicker for artichokes that we like poach in almost like an oil vinaigrette. So again, like part of that classic Barry Gould, but just done in a different way.
I love the idea that you think that people make artichoke crisps at home. No,
No, but I mean, I'm just trying to make it more accessible.
And no, but I mean, actually, the people who... I mean, you're packed out here pretty much every night now, aren't you?
Yeah, every night we're fully booked.
There are a lot of people in Brighton and Hove, as well as people who come down every weekend, who really are fascinated in how you cook, and I wonder if they do take those ideas home and do make those artichoke crisps. Well, do they get the feedback?
Yeah, we do. And I had someone on Twitter literally yesterday asking me whether it's worthwhile just buying artichokes and oil that are already marinated from the supermarket, or to get them in. I said, just get them in and try. There's no harm in buying it and looking at YouTube videos. That's the beauty of YouTube now. You can find out how to do anything. And even I look at ways to prepare ingredients.
Yeah.
Because I think it's sometimes reading something or listening, sometimes you just need to see it in action to give you confidence in how to do it.
Yeah, and I wonder if the rise and rise of the your type of restaurant, the very good-looking food, is to do with how many people are watching fantastic recipes on Instagram and social media and just, you know, salivating over the beauty of it.
Yeah, I think now it's the cookery shows as well, and maybe we're in a time where there's too many shows on food, but you know what? It's a good place to be. Let's be honest, with all the social media associated with like reality TV stars, actually cooking is what we all want to do, and it's good for you, and it's good for your health and well-being. Yeah. So I don't see there's anything wrong with it, and if that inspires people to go home and cook an artichoke at home, then I think that's great.
Exactly. So, right, where we're at.
So we scooped out the middle, and now we're going to take off that handle, the top. And then we're just going to slowly just shape. So keeping the knife flat.
So you're shaping that...
we're just going as close to... we're just going as close as we can to just get rid of those leaves.
Because, mm-hmm. Of course, you can't eat any of that.
No. And again, we're just looking at the colour as well. I'm just trying to get rid of the dark green, expose it back to the light.
So it's a plate you're making here, really, isn't it?
It is, and it's a shame that we're then going to like slice that down. But yeah, traditionally, again, when we cook them for a puree as well, we don't cook them in water. Yeah. What we do is put this into like a citric acid solution. So instead of lemon juice, we just use, it's 1%, so 1 gram of... citric acid powder, which you can buy, and then 100 grams or 100 millilitres of water, just mixed together, and it just keeps the colour. The reason we're not going to put this into there today is because we're literally going to slice it straight away for our two elements.
Mm. What are you going to do with all that waste?
All the waste? No, we actually... I mean, it's not, obviously a stock would be great, but we use a company called Pale Green Dot. So we separate our food waste, so vegetable waste, and also their meat and fish waste, and it goes off into composting, which again is good for the environment.
Which is what most chefs do these days.
They do, and I think it's a big part of it. Yeah. It's where your food comes from, but also where does the waste and leftovers go as well.
Yeah, it's a circular economy. Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about being listed in the top 100 restaurants in the UK. How does that feel?
Yeah, I'm still taken back by it. It was always an ambition of ours to be a restaurant of that level, and whoever judges that could be our guests, it could be our peers, or even ourselves. We just wanted to be of that ilk, and to be listed at 66, I thought it completely blew us away. And if anything, we're just trying to put Brighton and Hove on the food map.
Little Fish Market came in there as well.
Little Fish as well, which I'm great friends with Duncan, and I think together we're pushing each other. I think at the beginning when I said I was setting up here, I think it's a bit nervous. You know, I don't think I think he does want it, but he does completely fish dishes. We're doing a tasting menu that's very different to his food as well. So I think we've got an option there for someone that's travelling down from far afield to come down, have dinner with us on a Friday, Saturday night, and make a weekend of it in Brighton and Hove, because it's a beautiful city.
If you've got a lot of money, then you can have a real gourmet weekend here. But it is expensive, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's not as expensive as London, obviously, but it is very expensive to eat in, you know, really good food.
To eat here, you know, it's about £120 a head on average, including VAT. And VAT is a big thing that no one talks about in the food industry that I think needs to change. That's 20%. Like, the £20 on the 100 is going to... The tax man, and then we've got, you know, to run a restaurant, it's difficult nowadays. Restaurants don't make the profits of a lot of companies, but we're always the ones that get criticised almost. Oh, that's very expensive for food, or, you know,
well,
or
it's an aspirational hobby, isn't it, to eat out?
But even if you're going to like Patty and Bun or something, you know, it's not cheap to have a burger nowadays, and I think that's where things just are put into perspective. But I wouldn't use the word expensive. I always use the word value for money, because you're getting a lot. You know, we've got a team of 5 chefs, 5 waiters. It's only 30 guests that eat here. So you've literally got a chef and a waiter for six guests.
Yeah.
And we're there to look after you.
Let's get back to our egg and soldiers.
So our egg and soldiers. So we're now using a mandolin, which you need to be really careful with using.
Yes, it's a great utensil, but it's quite lethal if you're not careful.
I know, and I found out the hard way the other day.
Well,
not the other day, it was a couple of months ago now, but
So that artichoke bottom is now absolutely stripped of its handle, of its hard
skin. There's quite a lot of wastage, you're right. But the actual, the flavour's all in this. This is completely edible now, so we could just like cook that slowly in oil. But we're going to do it two ways.
So mandolining it, beautiful thin slices.
So these are the thicker slices, basically, that we're gonna poach in the oil. And then we're gonna just tune it down a little bit. I don't know if you noticed, but we like now label each of the courses. So we've got like vegetables, shellfish, meat, cheese, fruit, chocolate. We just try and make that that I don't know, like the British larder, and then do a different dish each month. So the egg we mix between duck and hen eggs at the moment. Next year I want to try and push it out and do like gulls eggs and pheasant eggs as well. Again, like things that are like in Britain but sometimes overlooked, because we don't use enough of what's on our doorstep. I think as a country we just get stuck in a rut and we use the same things. Like I think it was, you know, we use like five fish mainly. I think 90% of the fish we eat are between like cod, haddock, crab and prawns. Yeah. And salmon.
Well, we have to take what's available in the sea while the stocks are high.
Yeah, and I think that variety is really important. Mm. So our thin slices, we're literally just going to season with salt. Now the reason we do this for our crisps is because we want to draw out any water in there.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
So we're just laying them on a tray. We've got a mould and sea salt. And basically, within 10 minutes, we come back to it and it'll be in a little puddle of water. We'll then wash that and squeeze it out before frying. It also seasons the artichokes as well before frying, which is handy and consistent.
Salt is such an extraordinary ingredient, isn't it?
I love it. We don't use any pepper in the restaurant. Now, that's really unusual. We don't use any spice because I think it can almost overpower ingredients, whereas I want, as they're worded on the menu, we use two main ingredients, and I just really want those two ingredients to shine. And most people are amazed at that when I say we don't use pepper, but we do use salt, but in moderation. I think that's important. We're going to wash this off. So it's drawing the water out, concentrating the flavour, and then making it able to be like fried and crispy.
Yeah, it's a very sublime experience, your dining journey. I mean, the flavours are very beautiful, very elegant, but actually quite subtle.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's important to, like I said, bring out those flavours, but also like we want to create a journey. Like each dish is very different from the one before, because we are just sectioning it off into two ingredients as you go along. And, you know, by the end of the meal on the 9-course menu, you've had like 18 different flavours of Britain that are in season at that time. We're trying to give you the best product or the best produce at that moment in time.
Right.
So we've got artichoke salt in. We're then just going to get our artichoke slices that we've done quite thick.
So those are the ones at the bottom.
Yes. So we did some thick, some thin, mm-hmm. and we're just going to get a little bit of pomace oil.
That's olive oil, is it?
Yes, olive. But we use it's called like a pomace, so it's it's not too strong. What I do love using like olive oil, but it's got to be right. When it becomes again the peppery, I don't know if it's me, maybe I don't like pepper. But I don't like really strong oils because I want again the flavour of the artichoke to come through.
And you're putting that cold on the...
Cold on the artichokes, and we're going to bring that up to temperature. Again, we don't want to fry it in the oil. We're literally just going to, like, cook the artichoke. Because they've already thinly sliced, we're just going to cook them quite low, but fully cooked as well.
Interesting. Okay.
A little bit of salt. And a cider vinegar in there as well.
Now, that bread over there, while that's cooking, that bread over there, did you make that?
No, so we use we obviously make our Marmite brioche, which is my signature dish. So we make that in house. We get our sourdoughs and our brioche loaves from Flowerpot Bakery in Brighton, who again we use from the start. Absolutely love their products. Don't get me wrong; in a few years' time, I want to be making all of that in house. But I'm really conscious of the balance as well between how much time the chefs are spending here. So even though we're a 4-day a week operation. We're still on like between 50 and 60 hours, yeah. Which I know it's not the future. It's not the future. Yeah. I mean, when I was training, we're lucky if it was like under 90.
Oh,
but I think that helped my development into where I am today.
Right.
Whereas now there's a lot of competition. You can work in 2-star restaurants and work 50 hours a week. Mm. And I think that's where the industry is moving to try and make it fair. You know, give them an actual life because I missed a lot. Which I'm trying to catch up with now, but I think it's important it has to be. The industry has to change to be a career-minded industry.
Absolutely, but also all the inspiration must come from life, surely. It's what we were saying about art before. You can imagine old Picasso being stuck in a studio all the time. No, he was out there living his life.
It's a hard balance because I do look at it both ways because we're a young industry as well. Not in terms of the length the industry has been running, but most chefs are head chefs now between 28 and 32. You know, and that's generally 10 years of... So if you start at 16, you'd be head chef at 26. So it's 10 years. But I think I do worry sometimes that if we bring the hours down to 50, which is, you know, just over half the hours, that it could be then... Are we saying it's going to be 20 years before you get head chef? Because you've got impatience in there as well. Because what you're learning in those 50 hours... isn't the same as what you learn in 90. But you're right, you've got your life experience on the
other. I'm looking at all those fantastic chefs, like Josh Katz and people like that, who travel around the world, you know, who take
time out.
But
I think that's because they're still... Yeah, but are they taking time out? They're still learning about their career, aren't they? So I think... there's a balance in there. If you're investing in your career, if you're just going and out and getting drunk every night, you're probably not going to do your career any good. But by traveling, learning, eating out in restaurants, like I said, I was inspired by eating, and that's what got me into cooking is my love of eating, not just good food, all types of food. So with these little brioche, we just cut them into fingers, and we're basically going to oil the tray, and we're also oiling the brioche. So we want like a really nice. I don't know,
So you're doing that with your little pastry brush?
I know, yeah. Again, a little bit of salt on the brioche. Face down onto the oil tray.
And they're cut into little soldiers.
That's right. I mean, that's the base of the dish, egg and soldiers. They're going to go in the oven for 4 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Could you grill them?
Absolutely. I just find... When you see it when they come out, they're nice and crunchy on the outside but soft on the middle, and I think that's important. So if we're going to grill, make sure we do it both sides in the oven. We just have to do it on the one.
Yeah.
I mean, the colour of artichoke, I think that's what puts people off as well, is that you haven't got a lot of time. But the most classic way is just like get a lemon, cut it in half, squeeze it and rub it all over the artichokes. I mean, just for the purpose of this, we're doing a dish like really quickly. I don't think you need to go through that process. If we're doing like 10 artichokes, 100% you're going to need to citric acid them or lemon juice them.
So while we wait for those artichokes to do their thing, tell me what's the next 10 years going to hold for you?
The next 10 years, I mean, that's a big question, and you know, I just want to be successful in restaurants.
Will you stay here?
Yeah, I want to. Like, Hove is where I see a massive opportunity. I love the people here. I get a great rapport from them.
But you're an ambitious young man. I am. You've won MasterChef. You've got your fantastic restaurant really quickly. You're in the top 100. You're number 66, you know, in the top 100. I mean, that is amazing.
It is. But I think, I mean, when it comes to location, you know, I love like what Paul Ainsworth's done. You know, he's taken an area and he's become synonymous with that area. I think sometimes when you go to London, you can almost be like a flash in the pan. And I'm not being disrespectful to any chefs there, because to make it in London, you have got to be hugely talented. But you almost hear about chefs like every like 3 or 4 years. Who's the chef to watch out for? They have their 3 or 4 years and then they don't become bad chefs or bad restaurants, but they just like the restaurants are just there. You know, whereas I think by having an area of the country, I think you're buying people into that, into your concept. You've then got your local support, but also people will come down and visit Hove. Yeah. It's a destination. It's like London on sea.
I'd share it with Duncan.
You know, we just want to do, you know, this area proud. And like, when we go back to the top 100, I mean, I was looking at it. It's almost shameful that. You know, between Sussex, Surrey and Kent, I think it was the Sportsman, us and Duncan. And there's a lot of foodies in those areas. There's a lot of people that are like, and I know what everyone's going to say, oh, it's easy to get on a train to go to London. But is it easy to get on a train and go to London nowadays?
Back. That's the problem.
You can't get back. And with all the delays, it's actually helping us as restaurants.
And it's so expensive.
Yeah. So and everyone wants to come to the seaside.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Maybe not on a windy November evening, but in the summer, it's lovely to be here with our restaurant with the windows,
and you can bring up your kids in a lovely place by the sea.
That's absolutely right. I think more and more people are staying and settling in Hove and suburban Britain.
Yeah.
Little fingers should be done.
Beautiful.
We see there, so they've got a nice little glaze on the top. Now these, we just serve them in our little dishes with a bit of hay in there as well.
Yes, I love the hay. Where'd that idea come from?
That came from I saw Ben Murphy do it at Launceston Place, and I actually liked it without like copying directly. I just think there's that, I don't know, that nostalgia again. We used to seeing eggs in hay, egg and soldiers. Also, I mean, I haven't done it here, but we keep the hay in the bowl warm under the lights. Now we all know that toast or brioche fingers or whatever it is, they go cold quickly. So by keeping this warm, keeping the hay warm, it gets to the table nice and hot.
So the thinner shavings of the artichokes are going in a pan.
Yeah.
With the water and the salt.
Yeah, so we're just going to cover them in cold water, then squeeze them out with a clean jay cloth. And by that, we're literally squeezing every little bit out of it so they're as dry as possible before they go in the fryer. Mm-hmm. So artichokes are squeezed out. Oil, ignore the temperature there. It's about 175 is what we want it. Like I said, it's important that the artichokes are dry as well. We don't want to be adding water to our oil. And we're going to fry them until it stops bubbling, essentially. Uh-huh. So it's bubbling because the liquid's coming out of the artichoke, any remaining liquid. And then we know they're going to be crispy once the bubbles have stopped. And it's as simple as that. It takes about a minute.
Incredibly easy to make artichoke crisps.
I know. It sounds a bit middle class, I'm not going to lie. And that's what I'm worried about now. But we did say we're going to elevate the egg and soldiers.
Oh, yeah.
Not into a different class. But I think, like I said, I just love the unique taste of these this ingredient that's not readily used in the UK. Yeah, and it's been grown in the UK now as well. And that's really important. It's always been associated with a Mediterranean ingredient. But I think now we can say it's...
Presumably you can make that with any root vegetable, beetroot.
Yes, and this is how my mind works, and your mind works as someone that loves food, as a chef. You start thinking, actually, would it be good with beetroot?
Yeah.
Me, egg and beetroot, it's not playing nicely in my head. I think it might do, I don't know.
Try it, actually.
Yeah, but that's the difference. Like, that's for me as a chef. Yeah. It probably works brilliantly.
Yeah.
But I just like more like creamy ingredients, like with the creamy artichoke puree. We've got the glossy egg yolk. That's what I'm looking for in the dish.
Yeah, I was looking at the colours in my head.
Oh, see, I think you've got to go with flavour first. And then, I know we've got the beautiful basil oil to finish this dish as well. So we've got our soldiers, we've got our crisps. Got a little bit of puree here as well.
And now, the puree is the artichoke puree.
Artichoke puree. So when we get to that stage where we scooped out all the fluff, We literally just cook them in oil, in hot oil for this one. So bring them up to, I think it's about 120 degrees, and then just cook them at, drop it down to 110 and cook them for about 20 minutes at that temperature. If you cook them any higher, you start getting coloration, because we'll see in a minute the puree is nice and, I don't know, it's a neutral, like creamy colour rather than a dark grey colour for the puree.
Yeah. Just puree it with a blender?
Puree with a blender makes, again, I see a lot of people at home, they literally just blend things for 10 seconds. It's got to be a minute to 2 minutes. Blend it with cream and butter. That gives a nice gloss on there as well. Or some chefs at the moment are making like more of an emulsion with oil. So instead of your cream and butter, you can add oil, again, as a healthy alternative. Yeah. But you just want it smooth and glossy, and you shouldn't need to pass it off either. But saying that, I always would with artichoke, just in case any of those little bits of fluff have got in there, because they won't puree down.
Yeah.
We're literally going to start plating now. So the eggs are cooked for an hour in the shell, in the water bath at 64 degrees. We just crack them open and put them in, the egg yolks, into oil to basically have
what
ready for.
Oil?
So again, just normal pomace oil, not quite a neutral. We don't want any like flavour on there. But again, I don't want to put them into water either, because I think that lets the flavour down. On the egg yolks. So first of all, I'm going to put the artichoke puree on the dish. I'm just making a little well for the egg yolk to sit on top. I've then got my poached artichokes that I'm just going to layer over the top with some toasted pine nuts, the artichoke crisps, fresh basil and basil oil to finish. A little bit of seasoning on the egg yolk as well. And we're done. We've got the little brioche finger to the dish.
Thanks for listening to The Delicious Podcast. Next week, I'll be back for the last in the series of Be A Better Cook with one of the most influential chefs in modern British food, Marco Pierre White.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.